This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. You should make my earthquake. Oh, make my earthquake. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Yeah. Sassy, moody, hey. Nasty. Hey. From Journey to Megan Thee Stallion, Illinois is bringing back crowd favorites this summer at several music festivals, including Lollapalooza and Pitchfork in Chicago and Summer Camp in Chillicothe, announced their 2021 lineups. As more people are getting vaccinated and restrictions are easing, pre-pandemic activities are slowly returning. From birthday parties in the neighborhood park to Major League Baseball games in less crowded than usual stadiums. Authorities say 64% of Illinois adults have received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. And last Friday, public health officials reported the lowest 7-day average of COVID-19 cases in Illinois since last July. Joining us today to talk about what people can expect from the upcoming summer music festival season is Lior Galil. He's a music writer for the Chicago Reader. Lior, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Andrew Limbong, a reporter for NPR's Arts Desk. Andrew, thank you for being here.
Yeah, what's up?
I love that. It is such an conversational what's up. Listeners, you threw me for a loop. Listeners, how do you feel about the return of these music festivals in Illinois? Too soon? About time? Who are you most excited to see in a live performance? Join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. All right, Andrew, I'm going to start with you. Are you planning on going to any music festivals this summer? What are you most excited about?
So yeah, like me and music festivals have like a tricky relationship. I've never thought them like the best way to see music. I'm much more of like a small clubs kind of guy. I will say I'm like a 30 something dude, like Riot Fest seems particularly catered, like specifically, towards my liking. So if I had to go to one, I'd probably go to that one again. Although like, yeah, again, I don't know if I really have it in me energy-wise, you know?
No, I totally feel you on that. I feel like I outgrew the live, loud, you know, 100,000-person concert scene quite some time ago. Lior, what about you, though? Are you planning on going to any music festivals this summer? Who are you excited to see?
I'm not even sure I have a choice there. This is going to be a decision that my editors and I have to figure out together, because the summer festival season in Chicago has been squeezed into the end of August and all of September. And that is a big deal for the city. And it's if it's worth me going out there and possibly catching the virus, you know, that decision is not up to me. But I'm curious, in Lyrical Lemonade, which is now a 3-day hip hop festival, that's going to be the start of that large block of festivals at the end of August. Glaive, who's a hyperpop star, is actually performing there. And there's not much hyperpop on most of the other festivals. And that is a scene and sound that really is interesting to me, and I'm curious what that'll be like in a festival setting.
Well, let's continue talking down that vein then. There are some artists planning a return to Illinois this summer, along with newer ones. For people who might be planning on attending one of these festivals, who are some of the must-sees, Lior?
Oh, goodness. well, with Riot Fest, I'm really curious about Devo. I've never seen them live. I probably should have at least several times at this point. And that is a festival that, considering it caters to the history of punk music and has never booked Devo at the outdoor festival version, that's a huge get for me. You know, they also have Nine Inch Nails, Smashing Pumpkins, Lupe Fiasco. It's a great lineup, and there's a lot to see there. That, I think, is one where you can really get your money's worth if you're interested in kind of historically focused punk music and anything, you know, kind of out of the norm or non-mainstream.
We also asked our members of our texting club whether they would be attending any music festivals this summer and which artists they're hoping to see first in person. PJ in Springfield said one place for great outdoor music is Ravinia. It has a large lawn space that accommodates social distancing. He said he's hoping to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra or James Taylor.
And Franny and Hinkley said, I love concerts and live theater and have missed attending those terribly. This month I did go to an outdoor high school orchestra concert. They were actually pretty darn professional. It was wonderful. We had to wear masks. I didn't mind at all. I don't have tickets for anything this summer, but if the opportunity presents, I will go. I have had my shots. Smiley face emoji. Matt in Champaign, meanwhile, said, outdoor music is something I've really missed, especially the local stuff like Friday Nights Live in downtown Champaign, where you can see several weekends of bands and young performers all at once. And John in Harvard said, it'll be fine. I'm going to Pitchfork and Lollapalooza. Andrew, what are some of the protocols that you're hearing about at these festivals? I mean, are there vaccination requirements or negative COVID-19 tests? And how are they planning to keep track of that?
Yeah, that's interesting. Pitchfork and I think Lollapalooza are both requiring either a proof of vaccination or you have to get a negative COVID test for every day you attend. It seems to me that it's sort of like engineered in such a way that the latter option is almost geared purposefully to be like a pain and like a drag to get through. So you just are encouraged to get vaccinated first. Now, how that is all going to work out logistically, whether it's going to be on like an app or if you have to bring your like card thing or whatever, hasn't yet to be worked out yet. I think the city of Chicago is still, you know, working on the database and all that stuff. So, you know, every sort of festival website has the little section that says like COVID safety protocols. And most of it just says, oh, we don't know yet. Check back in, you know, later. I think the Lollapalooza one actually says like check back in July. So you have to wait until then. Pitchfork is actually, I think, the only one I've seen that is requiring masks still, but you know, again, that's also like check back in later to see if this is still true. So it's a lot of wait and see, I suppose.
Right. Things are changing fast with the CDC updating its guidelines every couple of weeks now. Let's go to the phones. 800-222-9455 is the number. Gordon is on the line from Rockford. Gordon, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, great. Pleasure to be on. Love to listen. I got impulse buy on Lolla tickets. I'm 50 years old with a 16 and 17-year-old, and now in hindsight, I kind of just want to get rid of them. Half of it's a lineup. We'll be vaccinated, but, you know, the spread worries me a little bit. But it's just not so much that as it's going to take extra precautions, and like was just mentioned, all that's not been announced yet, I'm willing to just sell them right now and even take a little bit of a loss. There's, you know, it's just going to be a big mess trying to check everybody's one more ID on everybody. And I don't know, then you're going to have people without it and lines are, I've seen long lines before, and gate crashing and whatever else can happen. It just seems like too much all of a sudden and an impulse buy, which I wouldn't have made.
Well, Gordon, I suspect if past performances any predictor, you will not have a hard time unloading Lollapalooza tickets on the secondary market. We also got a tweet from listener Joel who said he is surprised that Ludacris is performing at a country music festival in Peoria, said he is not going to be going though. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the return of summer music festivals to Illinois with Chicago Reader music writer Lior Galil and NPR's Arts Desk reporter and producer Andrew Limbong. And we're joined now by Seth Fine, the founder of Pygmalion, a festival based in Champaign-Urbana. Seth, thanks for joining us today.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
So last year, Pygmalion, like a lot of other music festivals, it went virtual because of the pandemic. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, I mean, I learned that what we do is meant for live engagement. I mean, look, it was not a bad thing. And I was so grateful and honored to be able to just do work in some capacity that I was excited just to feel engaged. But, you know, the experience of it, while I think it was successful, I know it was successful, was a more of a reminder of how just how much we were missing. It just, after, you know, Pygmalion's in this year into its 17th year, and there's a fatigue that comes along with the lead up and then the producing of the event. You know, it's just exhausting emotionally and then physically demanding on the weekend of. And I spent Pygmalion on my front porch, you know, drinking a White Claw. I didn't feel the same way, right. And I missed it. You know, I missed that so much. And so that's what we really took away, was that we weren't going to be able to do this virtually again. Even, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it again.
So no more virtuals. Do you have anything planned this year then?
Absolutely. I mean, look, we're in close contact with our local public health department and Julie Pride. And obviously, you know, being part of NIVA, National Independent Venue Association, and just paying attention all to what our colleagues are doing, it feels like we're going to be able to do this thing in some capacity. But we don't totally know yet, because we're so closely tied to the University of Illinois with our partnership with Kranert Center for the Performing Arts, that they haven't been given guidance yet. And so we are basically in a holding pattern. You know, we have plans to do indoor-outdoor at the Rose Bowl in downtown Urbana. We have plans to work with Urbana Free Library with our literary event to bring in some fantastic authors. Where we stage those people, it's still TBD. And so we're kind of a unique event, you know, as Andrew was saying, like, I'm into my 40s, the idea of standing in any sort of a field and watching a band around 30,000 people is just like, no, I can't do this anymore. I'm a small club type of person too. And that's what we do at Pygmalion. We do smaller shows in venues. But how safe that is, how possible it is, still waiting for guidance and still looking at numbers and still kind of, you know, hedging our bets in some ways. So it feels like we're a long way off, but it's, you know, end of May. So I feel like we'll know more soon.
All right. Well, we will stay tuned to hear what is coming up with Pygmalion, but it seems like you are hoping and planning potentially for a return to an in-person Pygmalion. Yeah. Lior, let me ask you, Lollapalooza in past years has streamed its concert on YouTube. Is that something that might be returning this year for Lolla and other Illinois festivals? You know, because a lot of people might still feel hesitant about attending, like the caller we heard from earlier.
Yeah, Lollapalooza has done that in the past. It's been sponsored generally, so why not open up other streams of revenue? We're talking about a festival owned by the single largest corporation in live entertainment internationally, so they're going to try to get every dollar they can out of this. Why not do that? Pitchfork also streams their, you know, their festivals. I imagine some of the other ones will open up streaming to people at home. Just, it's a, you know, that's a great way to engage with people who aren't quite ready to go to festivals but would spend money in the future on these events.
And Andrew Limbong at NPR, you have a sort of national perspective on this. Are you seeing festivals around the country, as we've been talking about these festivals in Illinois, are you seeing other states bringing back their outdoor music festivals?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you have the interesting here is that there's such like a mishmash of different states have different rules and different, you know, levels of opening, right? So like, I know, what do we got? We got like Rolling Loud in Florida is about to pop off. Bonnaroo announced pretty early, actually, their lineup that's down in Tennessee. I know even in April, this past April, there was an EDM festival in Texas called Ubby Dubby. Which happened, and you know they had rejiggered something since that they were at a bigger space so that people could be socially distanced, and you know, masks were required, although it wasn't like super well policed. So yeah, so things have been going on.
Andrew, will I see you at Ubby Dubby next spring?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll get my rave gear ready, dude. Hell yeah.
All right, we'll pass out the glow sticks. Andrew Limbong is on the A&E desk at NPR. Lior Galil is music writer for the Chicago Reader, and Seth Fine is the founder of Pygmalion, which is a festival based in Champaign. Thank you all so much for being here today on the 21st.
Thanks for having us.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to urge you to join our texting group. We've been hearing interesting things from listeners. It informs our coverage. You heard some texts we read out during the show today. You can join by sending the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK, 217-803-0730. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Scullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Club in my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town.